Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, February 25th, 2020, and tomorrow night at Silver Sign Eye Centers Arena, AEW Wrestling, AEW Dynamite, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and you can get tickets at AEWTix.com if you want to see all the action out at Silver Sign Eye Centers Arena. And one of the stars you'll see in the ring on Wednesday night, weighing in preparation for his big showdown with Chris Jericho, we have John Moxley in studio. John, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, man. We're here in Kansas City getting ready for the big show tomorrow night at the Silverstein Eye Center. Giant card on tap. AEW Dynamite live is something like you may have never experienced before. If you are a wrestling fan now, if you've ever been a wrestling fan, if you're a sports fan, if you're an entertainment fan in general, everybody watches something on TV. You're binge-watching crap on Netflix. You need to get back into wrestling, all right? Because in 2020, wrestling is hot. It's where it's at. It's better than it's ever been as a sport. It's cool to be a wrestling fan. It's fun to be a wrestling fan. And to come out to a Dynamite live taping, like you're going to see this Wednesday at the Silverstein Eye Center, it's like being part of something. I mean, you guys are sports guys, you know, the craziest college or pro or hockey or whatever, like, fandom you can imagine. It's like being part of the craziest community of just this energetic, live, living, breathing thing that has become this runaway train that is AEW Dynamite coming to a different town every single week in a new market. And watch on TV is great, but there's nothing like being there live and actually being a part of like that that experience, and that not just being there to, you know, feel the physicality and the hits and see the jaw dropping athleticism live and in person, but to like be kind of part of the community that is this new wrestling revolution, this fandom that's kind of come out and really starting to really spread grassroots throughout the whole country. You got to be there live to experience it.
Okay, so I love the way you described this, because listening to how you first got interested in wrestling when you were a kid was very similar to how I did, because that's basically all I did when I was a kid. Because back in the day, we had Central States All-Star Wrestling with Bob Geigel and Bulldog Bob Brown, and NWA territory, Ric Flair would make a monthly appearance, a Bruiser Brody was my favorite guy. But listening to you in a recent interview, you talked about how you videotapes your thing, and you used to just watch as many videotapes and get videotapes, and you'd kind of retrace the wrestling history, kind of going backwards to figure out how everything had happened to lead to that point. You missed Hulkamania, and so when you started really getting into it, Bret Hart was the guy. And I used to do the same thing, but I'm much older than you, with magazines, with Pro Wrestling Illustrated, The Wrestler, Inside Wrestling, and my mom would take me to bookstores that had used secondhand wrestling magazines, and I'd read them all the way back to like 1970 and try to retrace. Okay, the NWA belt, the WWWF belt, the AWA belt, who's Vern Gagne, who's all these people, Nick Bockwinkel, and try to figure out the history of wrestling. And it sounds like you did that when you were a kid, but just using videotapes to get all the backstory and the back history to where wrestling was when you started following it. Not that that was so cool, because that's basically the same thing I did.
And I love the magazines, too. The old, PWI, Wrestling Weekly, all the way. I'd always be on the lookout every time I passed by a newsstand to see if there was a new one that came up, and I would peruse that thing front to back a million times there in the store, read the rankings, you know, people. I remember I was reading, you know, the Japanese rankings, names I've never heard before I was able to get a hold of Japanese tapes the first time. Just kind of, you see people in pictures for the first time before you ever get to see them live, you know. Like, I remember the old ad for the old ECW hotline and just, you know, somebody's bloody face on it, and I'm like, that's, what's this ECW thing? It's even crazier, you know. Like,
you call back, get all the results to hear one.
There was so much more imagination back then. Now I can't imagine how spoiled kids are. Everything is at your fingertips, at your smartphone with YouTube and everything. I mean, imagine just what's on, like, the WWE Network. I mean, that would be a basement full of videotapes in my day, you know? That would have been, you know how many 8-hour VHSs dubbed over that would have been back in my day. You know how hard that is to move around? Yeah, moving from place to place.
Right. That's right. Yeah, the box is full of VHS tapes. Now it's like all on one iPad.
I had all these damn magazines, and I couldn't wait. Like when they would actually come to Kansas City. And I remember I was scared to go see the original Sheik because he threw a ball of fire. And I was afraid that, you know, well, hell, I'm there. Maybe the fire hits me. I don't know. And so I remember going there, and I was a little bit frightened to see him. The Missing Link.
Did he humble you?
Or Kamala. No, this is not the Iron Sheik.
The original Sheik.
And Kamala and Bruiser Brody when they had a Pinfalls Anywhere match at Memorial Hall. And it was just, and it was so intimate. It was a smaller arena, and you felt like you were really in the action. That's what it kind of reminds me of AEW. This arena that you guys are going to be at tomorrow is perfect for wrestling because there's not a bad seat in the house, and it'd feel like you're just right on top of the action. And I know that you talked about that when you went to your first show. That's what it was like, as opposed to sitting up in the nosebleeds for a WWF house show. I mean, you feel like you're really a part of this thing with the AEW.
That's what I've heard. I haven't been to the Silverstein Eye Center, but from what I understand, it's right up our alley. We've been hitting a lot of non-conventional buildings for some conventional, but a lot of places we've gone to. Because every week so far, I mean, we've been doing this every week for about 5 months, and since October 2nd, so that's my math correct, 5 months. Every week, it's a new market, and so we've been hitting some non-traditional wrestling buildings and trying to build our own new traditions and new buildings, and we're, you know, starting here in Kansas City, which is, as you've explained, is a hugely historical wrestling town going back decades, and... You know, now we're going to start building a new tradition and a new building at this Silverstein Eye Center. This doesn't really roll off the tongue very well. Maybe we get a new name for it. Maybe get a new sponsor. But like you said, the AEW atmosphere, a lot of it is about the fans and those kind of more wrestling-centric, smaller buildings. By no means is this a small building. There's going to be thousands and thousands of people there.
Right.
But... like you said, there's not a bad seat in the house from the layout. I've looked at it and so forth. I'll step into it for the first time tomorrow. And we like buildings like that because the fan experience is the most important part for us, because we can't allow you to come to AEW Dynamite for the first time when we step into a new market for the first time, when you flip on the channel on TNT and Wednesday nights for the first time and sample for the first time AEW product. We can't allow you to be disappointed. We can't have anybody going home on Wednesday night in the car, sitting in traffic, going like, man, that was just like Monday Night Raw. Oh, no. It's got to be 1,000 times better. We're pulling out all the stops every single week to make sure you have the best possible time where you go like, where you leave hyped. Remember when you used to leave wrestling when you were a kid leave a movie or, you know, you see the first time you saw some movie in the theater or whatever, and you're hyped, and you're like, oh my God, that was, I gotta go back. Like, that's what we want for everybody every single week. We're not just here like, oh, it's the circus coming through town. Barnum and Bailey comes 3-4 times a year. See the same friggin' monkeys and the same stupid trapeze sideshow act you see every, and the clowns and all that crap. You know, like, no, this is a new thing every single time. We're pulling out all the stops. For instance, this Wednesday night, you see Kenny Omega versus Pac in a 30-minute Iron Man match. Two of the most jaw-dropping, amazing athletes in the world. The things these guys can do athletically is amazing. And they're going to be out there for 30 minutes, most falls in 30 minutes. So that's a large canvas for these athletes to paint on. That's guaranteed to be an absolute showstopper. And everything else that's on the show, I mean, we're leading in. The energy is high, leading into a big pay-per-view this coming weekend, Revolution in Chicago. So this is a night that's going to be explosive. Not, you know, no pun intended, AEW Dynamite, always going to be explosive. That's why we call it Dynamite. But I think there's something a little special brewing in Kansas City for tomorrow night. So you do not want to be one of those people who didn't make it out there live for the very first show in Kansas. I mean, this is a historic wrestling town.
That's
right. You get a chance to be a part of history. So you don't want to be one of those people who missed out.
Now, Jake, our producer here, is beyond excitement having you in studio, loves AEW, loves you, and so we're going to bring him in. He doesn't normally ask questions of guests, but this is a big time for him, John. And so, Jake, please talk to John Moxley and conduct yourself appropriately.
What's up, dude?
Oh, we already met.
Yeah.
Well, not on the radio.
Right.
Now we're meeting.
It's official now.
Yeah. You kind of mentioned it. I think this is the best thing for professional wrestling to happen. AEW is making everybody step their game up. And, you know, to be honest with you, the WWE is getting kind of stale there. And I think this is stepping everybody's game up. But you've been with both organizations. Like, what are the major differences right now between the locker rooms, like when you were part of WWE and now the AEW is fresh? Man, and what I respect about them is it's like a throwback. And then it's like an introduction to all these young kids that don't know about the throwbacks. And that mixture, you know, it's like WWE went away from that. And you know, they were just catering to the young people, alienating their old fans, guys like me. And now this is like, it's like a mixture of both. You got this great young talent that the AEW has brought in. They got you guys like you and Omega and Jericho that are holding it down. Like, what are the biggest differences right now between the locker rooms?
I think the big thing about AEW right now is it's about the talent, and the talent's passion for this thing we call wrestling, for this sport, this pastime, and it's kind of mirrored in the fans, and the fans bring the energy, and it's all kind of, it's almost like a weird we're all in this together thing. Whereas over there, it's such an institution and been around for so long with no competition that it's a bit of a formula. It's a company. It's a corporation. It's just such a standard. It's been there for so long, and we have the same formula and the same stuff and the same.
It's tired.
A little stale.
Yeah, and you know, they're a company and a brand, and we're a brand trying to reach people on global platforms, and we have all that, you know, like stuff like that. Like, what are we talking about? It's wrestling, man.
Yeah.
I want to see somebody get stabbed in the eye. Hopefully, not myself.
Right.
I brought that upon myself. You know.
No good.
Like AEW, this is just about wrestling and everybody's love and passion for wrestling. And you know, AEW is the name on the marquee. It's the we want you to see the AEW logo and associate that with the best wrestling in the world. But really, it's you know, it's not about the brand over anybody else. It's about the wrestlers and the talent getting to showcase themselves however they see fit. And if somebody is some crazy dude who wants to come out, you know, with a hula hoop around his waist and throw darts, then that's what he's going to do. You know, that sounds pretty bad, but you know what I'm saying? Whatever.
Interesting gimmick.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, Darby Allin's going to be Darby Allin. John Moxley's going to be John Moxley. We're not out there trying to fit into anybody's molds or do anything. It's just a lot of authentic representation of some of the best talent in the world, both old and new, not old, but both experienced veteran talents and new up-and-coming talents, and it's a great mix.
Okay, so John Moxley is our guest, and so I want to ask you a couple of things about the evolution of John Moxley, because I thought this was a really interesting story. And so back when you were first getting your start and you were working on a character, they had you as a stoner football player, and you were wrestling, and there's some of the names you threw out there. A guy that was supposed to be a golfer named Chip Fairway, which I think would be, you know, let's bring him back, by the way, in AEW. I feel like that would be a great character for Jake, because he loves wrestling and loves golf. But so you had not come up with a name yet, and one of the other guys yelled out John Moxley because he thought that was a character in Varsity Blues, but he got the name wrong. And you stuck with it and you kept it, you liked it. And then here you are still John Moxley. Is that all true?
Yeah, that's just how it just kind of all happened within a few seconds. I was a young grunt student back then and didn't have really any say-so. So I was just doing as I was told, and I was kind of too nervous to suggest and didn't have any other ideas. It was just kind of froze up and was like, yeah, cool. Like, literally seconds before I walked out for my first ever match. And then I figured, like, okay, that'll just be for a while, and then I'll come up. Then I'll be the Terminator after that or something. You know? But yeah, I just ended up, it just kind of became my name somehow, you know.
They're trying to call you John Moxon from Varsity Blues.
Right,
Mox,
right?
Mox, Moxley.
So, but it works well for you. And the other thing that I wanted to ask you about, and so, you know, when you're getting ready to make your debut at Double or Nothing, you wondered what the response was going to be like. Were you going to get that pop? What they were going to think of you? But then when you got that tremendous reaction at Double or Nothing, you knew that it was all going to work out. But there was a while there that you kind of, you know, after leaving WWE and you wanted to kind of go back to basics and do things on your own. You didn't know how you were going to be received, but everyone loved you.
Yeah, I mean, definitely had a lot of thinking like that, you know, while I was still in WWE and looking at the future and so forth, you know. In the moment, though, I mean, like, that day when I woke up that morning, I was pretty confident that this night was going to go pretty well, you know, and walking up to the concourse, come down through the crowd in the arena, you know, I mean, I was pretty, I was feeling pretty good about the whole situation, but it had been a long few months leading up to that, you know.
Can you compare that rush to anything when you're coming through the crowd and you're getting that pop? Does that compare to anything that you do?
It's pretty cool, man. Like, you know, no matter how tired, and you know, this is how it is, man. No matter how tired you are, how sore you are, how drained you are, or how long you've been on the road or whatever, like when you really feel that energy from the audience and you get that adrenaline burst, there's, you know, that, especially right now, I don't even feel like TV is doing some of these crowds justice, some of these AEW crowds, because I'm walking right through them every week, you know. And when I come out, like, you know, things are about to hit the fan, so people know they're about to see something, so the energy gets pretty high pretty quickly. And like being literally in the audience with these people and feeling the energy that's in the audience, you know, at these AEW Dynamite shows, like I said, you got to be there live this Wednesday to experience, you know. I've literally been in the audience, or I'm literally in the audience every week, so it's like I feel it so close that I almost feel like TV's not doing some of these justice. So I watch these clips back and I'm like, that's it. If you were there live, that was like so much crazier, you know. So the energy level right now is just really, really high, and like I'm walking out there every Wednesday night just floating on air, man, like easy money, like let's go, let's get in a big fight, let's see what happens, you know.
Yeah, there's no way that the video can do it justice. When there's a crowd that electric, you have to be there in person to really appreciate it. I mean, that's just the truth. I'll never experience that rush. The closest thing that Steven and I get is when we MC these watch parties down in the P&O during the Super Bowl. You got 12,000 people just absolutely going crazy. And I remember Steven telling me, hey, if you want to MC and you want to work the crowd like that, you got to watch these guys in professional wrestling, because they work a crowd better than any entertainers in the world.
And you're great on the mic. You know?
And you have to, that's part of the deal. It's not just the amazing athleticism. You got to be able to captivate that audience and get them as wrapped up in this whole thing as you are. And it seems like you both feed off one another. The crowd feeds off you and you feed off them.
And I keep trying to get Nate to let me stab him in the eye, but he won't go that far.
Yeah, he keeps body slamming me and throwing me off the stage.
But that's fine.
You don't ask permission. For
right.
that's what went wrong. See?
There you go.
Rookie mistake, Steven.
Right. I'm an idiot. Jake, you need to have the final word with John Moxley. So what do you got there?
Well, I mean, you have a lot of freedom working with the AEW. I'm just curious, like, what's it like? You know, the fact that you're chasing Jericho for the title right now in AEW, but also, it like, real wrestling fans, they definitely pay attention to, you know, New Japan wrestling, and you're also chasing the title in New Japan. Like, the freedom that you could possibly hold two titles in two different organizations, like, mind-blowing. It has to be. Like, especially thinking about, you know, where you were before this, and now the freedom that you have for your character, for you, for who you are and what you get to do. I mean, that's got to raise some hair on the back of your neck.
Yeah, I mean, from this point on in my life and career, I go wherever I want to go, I do whatever I want to do. And you know, the only thing that, only negative about New Japan is that there's that pesky ocean in between
right.
here and
there. Right. Yeah.
And that's a bitch.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to cross right. back and forth yeah. 200 times a month.
That's got
to
be a grind,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. I wish it was just like, I wish Japan was just like where, like, Des Moines was.
Me too, to be honest.
Right, yeah. yeah.
Instead, several it's like all the way on the
other side. I've taken culture up there in Iowa.
Yeah.
No, but it's awesome. I love wrestling in Japan. I love wrestling all over the world. Whether it be, you know, fans are different everywhere, and Japan is a totally unique experience to wrestling in the United States, to wrestling in Europe, and so forth. So, you know, I want to, and you have to go there to experience that, you know. And so, you know, I like, you know, those old, hey, we're in Kansas City, the old school world champions like Harley Race, who go mm-hmm. all the way around the world. And wrestle all the big names and all the big territories, whether it be New Zealand or Australia or Japan or at home in Kansas City. You know, I like, I'm lucky. I get to basically live the life that, you know, I used to read, in the, as you talked about earlier, reading these, about these guys in these magazines with bloody heads and championship belts, you know, going around the world, living the life of a pro wrestler. You know, I basically get to do that for a living, so you know I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
I might be very nervous whenever Harley Race or Ric Flair go over to Japan to defend their title against Giant Baba or Antonio Inoki. Like, boy, hope they bring the title back to the States. You know what? Most of the time they did, but I'm just going to tell you, this is what wrestling has needed—an alternative. And AEW is bringing the wrestling back to the people. So, John, before we let you go, just tell people they're sitting on the fence. What they can expect if they come out to Silverstone Ice Center's Arena. The crowd is going to be electric. You're going to love the crowd. You're going to love what you see tomorrow night. But what will people see if they come out and watch you and the rest of the roster from AEW tomorrow night?
Hey, man, if you, for every Pizza Hut, you need a Domino's. For every Coke, you need a Pepsi. This isn't just, you know, Pepsi to Coke. This is Mountain Dew Code Red on steroids.
Wow.
This is 10 times better than 10 times more electric than any wrestling show you've ever been to. I'm telling you, AEW, 1 week, less than a week away from one of our biggest pay-per-views ever, 5 months into this TV thing, the energy is high right now. This is something you need to be a part of live, to be part of this community. It's awesome to be a wrestling fan in 2020. If you've ever been a wrestling fan, if you're a fan now, if you've ever been a fan, if you're a sports fan, if you just like ESPN 30 for 30, if you like to watch anything on Netflix, you're going to like this. I'm telling you, you will be entertained. You will have a good time. You will be blown away.
Now, you can get tickets, AEWTix.com for tomorrow night, and you can see John Moxley and the rest of the stars from AEW. John, thanks a lot for coming in studio, man. We really appreciate it. Thanks for the time. That is John Moxley back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.